Hello and welcome to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Thank you for joining me today. It is 10 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesday, July 8th, 2025. Happy July. Happy July. The hottest month of the year. Yep, I'm still convincing myself that I like summer. But it's been a firecracker here. It really has. It's been in the 90s. And for a pretty straight run. So happy July, and I hope that July keeps on moving as quickly as the rest of the year has moved. But I am very, very happy, aside from hot weather, very happy to be back live with you today, and even happier that C.A. Brooks is joining me for our July 2025 Meeting of the Minds. As you know, if you listen to this show, we really do always have a great discussion. And you are invited to be part of it, so please join us in the chat room. Just go to 12radio.com and click chat. And please feel free to comment or ask questions in the chat. We may or may not have time for readings today. We'll see how the conversation goes. And we just follow our intuition on that one. So we'll see, but you can ask a question in the chat and we'll be happy to answer, whether it's online or, on the air or after. If you would like a reading, however, from us, you can find both of us on 12listen.com. I'm available every day, usually mid to later morning Pacific into the evening. But if you happen to stop by and don't see me, or if I'm on another call, just schedule a call, put in a callback request. I'm notified immediately via text and I'll get back to you as soon as I possibly can. This is a big week on 12listen. Thursday is the full moon, and Saturday is 12 day. And we will be celebrating with reduced rates on calls and chats. And on 12 day, we have our favorite day of the month, and we have random reduced prices that will change throughout the day for each advisor. We're all at random prices, and they all change throughout the day. So it's a really fun energy. And that's on calls and chats. But there are special prices on time-based sessions, email-based services, and other services. So it's a lively week this week on 12listen. And I will be online every day. And I will have a time-based session at a very special price for 12 day. If you would like to be notified of our specials, just go to 12listen.com and sign up for 12 promotions. And I just want to say thanks again for being here today. Thank you for listening. However and whenever you do, there is programming 24/7 on 12 Radio, and you can find archives of all the shows in the on-demand section at 12radio.com. 12 Radio is a great source of information, inspiration, and support. So I encourage you to take advantage. I really do. Learn something new. Listen to a host that you don't typically listen to. You never know. So it's there. It's always there. And again, I do encourage you to take advantage. And I want to say thank you to Serena for producing the show today and for all that she does for us on 12 Radio, which is everything. So thanks, Serena. I appreciate you. I know, I'm sure I speak for all of us. We all appreciate you. And of course, as you know, I'm always glad to have CA with me, CA Brooks on the show with me. If you're not acquainted with CA, she is a 12listen advisor, a clairvoyant astrologer, animal communicator. She's an avid student of A Course in Miracles, among many other things. She writes the Week Ahead section of the Power Peak, Mark Husson's weekly newsletter. She hosts Everyday Astrology here on 12 Radio, which immediately precedes Empowerment live every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific. And she has podcasts of her A Course in Miracles show, Why Wait for Heaven, available in the on-demand section at 12radio.com. Our monthly visit, the second Tuesday of the month, if it works, if not, we find another day. But our meeting of the minds is where we can just talk. I start with a topic and we kind of go from there. But the thing is that we can bring everything and anything to the table. You know, spirituality, which is my deal and my favorite deal, my passion, spirituality and mysticism, astrology, tarot, feng shui, anything and everything. are welcome. And I think we are just kind of in this space. My intention for this space and the space that I set for our show together is just a space of permission, you know, to just be the instruments, you know, through which information flows, through which fun and enjoyment and love flow. So, you know, we could talk for days. So this is always a show that I look forward to, and it's always fun. So I'll have CA join me in just a couple of minutes while I set up the topic. So actually, while I was waiting for the topic to show itself or to unfold, I had an idea of what I wanted to talk about. But of course, you know, when I, every time I just make myself available for more information, amazing what happens, you know, when you do that. Information comes because we kind of get out of the way. But I was listening to one of Alan Watts' television programs from the early 1960s. And this is, they're black and white. You can see them on YouTube or on, I think you can probably see them on alanwatts.org too, his specific website. But he was giving a call, a talk that was called Nothing Makes Sense, and That's the Point. And one of the things he talked about, and you'll know as I talk further why this was just absolutely brilliant to listen to this yesterday afternoon. He said orderliness of life. The orderliness of life. In other words, everything having to be in order, you know, doing things a certain way all the time. Is the life, if it's taken too far, becomes monotony. Through an excess of order, our lives begin to lose vitality. We need a kind of disorder to give life to order. We need a kind of nonsense in order to make things meaningful. We need chaos as an essential element of life. So, as you probably know, if you listen to my show or if you talk to me on One to Listen, my son, daughter-in-law, and three grandchildren came to visit 2 weeks ago and stayed with me for 10 days. And actually, they stayed two nights in our cabin. We went to our family reunion the last Saturday of June, and they stayed in our cabin up there, and I stayed in my cousin's guest house, which was fantastic. But so here are three children, 8, 5, and 4. And it is just an energy all unto itself. Their group consciousness, not just the kids, but kids and parents, it is just an interesting and fun thing to behold. But, you know, here's this big energy, big chaotic energy of this family coming to stay with us. And, you know, Grace and I, my little dog and I, live a really quiet, orderly life. And having the five of them here, especially the kids, turned it upside down, just upside down, but in a really wonderful, chaotic, but wonderful way. And I absolutely loved the time that we had together. And I think, well, I know it's because I changed my mindset about it, for one thing. You know, in the past, I would try to get ahead of, you know, anticipate what might happen, what they would need. I'd buy way more food for them than they needed and or would use. So I ended up giving it away to, you know, my neighbors or whoever, my nephew for his kids. But, you know, trying to anticipate that, trying to make sure all the bases are covered with them is completely impossible. I mean, it is just completely impossible. And really and truly, it's an impossible thing anytime, in any circumstance. But it's just everything is in flux. You know, everything is in constant motion with them. Because, again, three little kids are unpredictable. Completely unpredictable. So my method of operation this visit And I'm happy to say that I observed myself doing it, was non-resistance. Just non-resistance. Whatever went on, whenever plans changed, I was able to just be detached and neutral. And that made for a really fun time because I could have, quote unquote, have the chaos rather than fight it. And things just flowed. Things just flowed. We ended up going to my brother and sister-in-law's house four different evenings because they have a swimming pool. And those little kids are little ticking time bombs by the end of the day. And they just needed to release energy. And boy, swimming in that pool, they all love water. They're all pretty good swimmers, even the littlest. And it did the trick. You know, it really did the trick. But, you know, that wasn't something that I thought would happen. You know, I thought we could sit outside and have conversations, which we did when the kids went to bed. But anyway, it was unpredictable. And that was okay. You know, that was okay. So this whole vacation was really a reset for me. I needed a break. I just needed a break from my routine. I, you know, you get to a place where you kind of start losing your enthusiasm for things. I'm speaking personally, I was. So I really needed just the shakeup in my energy, in the house, in my day-to-day. So even though I did work several hours, well, a couple days during the time they were here, the weekend in the mountains where we went for our family reunion was total time off. And because I intended it to be, but also because they don't have Wi-Fi up there. They have no Wi-Fi. So it's like, oh, you know, not even any argument within myself for that. No Wi-Fi. And staying with my cousin was another wonderful experience. So here, you know, here's two different terrific experiences, completely different, but were very healing for me. You know, having my kids and my son and my grandchildren here, and then the time that I spent with my cousin, her three sons, she has four children, her three sons and two of their girlfriends, along with her husband, were who I spent time with when I was there. And I spent Friday and Saturday night, and we left Sunday. But they are just super easy, lovely people to be around. I mean, just easy. And being with them was like breathing fresh air. I mean, it was so, and I can't explain it. I can't explain exactly why, but you've probably been someplace with people or with a person where you were totally comfortable. You were totally comfortable and you could just be yourself and talk and have conversations. And I came back feeling just revitalized from that weekend. So it was all really wonderful and it was the break that I needed. And I appreciate it very much. But I want to share another point from the video. And this might be the talking point for CA and I. He was talking, Alan Watts was talking about purpose. And not purpose in the sense of my life purpose is this, but how we look at purpose here. And he's talking about people in the West, Western part of the world. And he said, well, let me just give the example he gave. He gave the example of going into town for the purpose of shopping for groceries. And shopping for groceries validated the trip into town. Like, things have to have a purpose to justify why we do them, so that we can justify why we do them. Like, it isn't good enough if we just want to go into town and wander around and see what's happening, because that's not productive. That doesn't have a purpose. And I have to say, that really hit home for me. And I'm still pondering it. It's like, you know, I never thought of that. But I could relate to that because I do it. And I've done it probably all my adult life. And I don't know why, but now that I'm conscious of it, it's something I'm going to pay attention to and ponder and maybe take into meditation. And what he said, he talked about actually purpose and meaning, purpose and meaning. But that was his example of his take, so to speak, on purpose. But he said, purposelessness and meaninglessness are negative terms for people in the West because we're driven by productivity, you know, by it's just how we are, you know, in this Western society, you know, being productive, being efficient, being, and I'm speaking from me. But in the East, he said, in Taoism and Buddhism, they're positive statements. Purposelessness, meaninglessness are positive concepts because they describe not pushing against the flow of nature and the flow of life, but being in it, flowing with it. Because nature doesn't have a purpose. It's like life. Life is life. Life is what lives us. And it just is. It's source. It's life. It's the Tao. It just is. So purposelessness flow, it, you know, is flowing with it. And if you think about it, that's the purpose and meaning of life, right? To be in it and flow with it, not to fight it. So anyway, I just thought that was pretty interesting. And on that note, I want to say welcome to CA and thank you for being with me today.
Hey, thank you, Kelly. And I got such a kick out of the notes that you were sending your clients because I have taken classes from you. So I'm on your client list.
Uh-huh.
And so I always get those. And when I heard those kids were there, I thought, oh my God, because Kelly's got this, you know, very comfortable but beautiful house. And there she is with Grace. And I thought, oh my God. And here descends these three rambunctious, intelligent, clever, provocative kids.
Exactly.
And, you know, actually, I could just see Grace. I mean, and I'm projecting here, but sometimes when something happens, you know, Tucker will literally just look over at me and almost roll his eyes and go, exactly. What was that? And, you know, and I thought, oh my God, that's exactly what Grace is doing right now, going, hey, what's going on? Although I bet you she really liked those kids and had a good time with them.
Oh, yeah. Right? She's just fine. You know, she goes with the flow. You know, at first it's like, oh my gosh, because Maisie wants to pick her up, you know. Uh-huh. And Grace weighs like 12 pounds. And if uh-huh. if you pick her up, she likes to be on your shoulder. You know, she loves it when like an adult will pick her up.
Yes, and we'll pick her up.
Put her up, you know, hold her up like her head's at your shoulder height. And Maisie can't do that. So she's just got her by the middle and Grace is like, like, holy crap.
Right. What's right.
going on? You
know? Yeah. Yeah.
Make it stop.
That's funny. Oh, yeah. That's funny. But anyway, I so enjoyed that. And I, you know, I was living vicariously through you and thinking, oh my God, that must just be a riot over there for those days that they were with you. So I'm glad you got that opportunity. But going back to what you're talking about, I know we don't often talk astrology on this show, but I want to tie it into the idea. Uranus, which is the planet that literally breaks the rules. It's the one that says, we need some chaos. We need some disorder. Because astrologically speaking, Saturn, before Uranus was identified, Saturn was the outer perimeter of our solar system. I mean, if you know, you took a class, you wrote a book, it was always Saturn is the outer perimeter. The boundary, the structure. It became the planet astrologically that represented those things. Discipline, structure, order. This is the outer boundary. Well, then Uranus comes along you know, because people invented, or I can't remember his name, but he invented the telescope. And there was a new way to look at it. And Uranus became the outlier. It became this planet that had a weird orbit. It truly does. It does have a really strange orbit. It doesn't behave. It doesn't behave like the other planets. Mm. And all of a sudden, it's out there. It broke all the rules. And I love it because I could imagine a world where they had to rewrite the science books. Mm-hmm. You know, everything that had to do with the solar system, we had to rewrite it. Well, Uranus is in the news and will be for a while now, mostly because it only changes signs every 7 years. Mm-hmm. Well, it changed on Monday, yesterday.
Oh.
And it's going to be in Gemini, the sign of the twins, the sign of communication. It's going to be there until May of 2033.
Wow.
I mean, so, you know, we're going to talk about it for a while because relatively this is going to be new energy for a while, especially because it will retrograde back into Taurus for a few months. And then by April of next year, it's going to be like free floating, you know, it's like a free for all of Uranus in Gemini. But everything that you were saying is the benefit of Uranus coming in, because it says, okay, cool. Saturn, enough of the habits and the rigid boundaries. And this is how we have to do it. And this is the order. You get up at 8 o'clock, you drink your coffee, you go for a walk or whatever it is. Uranus just goes, well, what if? What if? And it changes the order. I mean, and it can appear as chaos. And oftentimes it does, because anything that's out of our familiar zone or out of our yeah, feels chaotic. Oh my God. But on the other hand, there again, is it really chaos? Or is it the way of the world? Is it the way of nature? Or is it the way of the way things happen? So Uranus, you know, psychologically, if a person is very Uranian, which are a number of them, and usually they're inventors, by the way, those are the people who are always, always thinking outside the box, you know? I mean, in fact, I had a quote I was going to use on my show today, and I didn't. Do you know who Temple Grandin is?
No.
Okay. She is a woman that I'm trying to think what year she was born, 1947. But she is severely autistic. And so much so that when she was born, she had so many communication. She was, you know, I'm not going to say the typical autistic child, because I'm not sure there's a typical for that. But she was so diminished in her ability to be like other kids. The doctors literally told her parents, you need to institutionalize her. Mm-hmm. Well, her parents weren't going to have anything to do with that. And she has since become like an expert in a number of fields, certainly in a field of autism. But she broke all kinds of ground because she became an expert at basically advising livestock operations about the humane treatment of cows.
Wow.
And of other livestock, because she, as a person who thought differently, she knew what it felt like to be in a world where you're thinking in pictures, not English words. And she literally, I mean, I've known about her now for, I think, at least 20 years. I mean, I first heard of her in Colorado. And in fact, when she was at one of the state fairs or something like that. So I heard her speak, which is interesting because she is so pragmatic in her speech, in the way she talks. But she's written many, many, many books. But the quote that I was going to use is this. One, she says, in an ideal world, the scientist should find a method to prevent the most severe forms of autism, but allow the milder forms to survive. After all, the really social people did not invent the first stone spear. It was probably invented by a person with Asperger's syndrome who chipped away at rocks while the other people socialized around the campfire. Without autism traits, we might still be living in caves.
Interesting.
And I know, and I love that. I mean, it does sound just like her. Well, and of course, like I said, she's written lots of books, and that's in her book that's called Thinking in Pictures. But that's the idea. She's going, you know what, guys? You think everything has to be normal, or it all has to be in this subscribed little circle. But the truth is, It's those people who aren't thinking like the rest of you. You're all sitting there roasting marshmallows or doing whatever around the campfire. It's somebody else who's thinking up crazy things that change the world. You know, mm-hmm. the Edisons of the world, the Einsteins of the world. You know, yeah. and when you think about how many people who really have been inventors or free thinkers, etc., they probably all had some level of being on the spectrum.
Yeah.
And just simply because they didn't think like other people. Now, whether you want to consider that a medical diagnosis or just they don't think like other people. Well, mm-hmm. that's what Uranus introduces to us, is it's time to think outside the box. And also, I like to think of Uranus, it's the planet that says, think outside the box. What are you talking about? There are no boxes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. Uranus, it wants to break through the boundaries, the orderliness, or what we think of as orderliness. It wants to break through those things and say, you know, you don't have to destroy it. Because in fact, even though they're very contrary, I love the idea of Saturn and Uranus together because we need boundaries. I mean, if our lives were totally chaotic, then, you know, what would really happen? But we don't need, I mean, we need Uranus to balance the orderliness of Saturn, and we need Saturn to balance the chaos of Uranus. But I was also thinking just what you said, you know, it's like, I'm a big person on purpose. And purpose is, by the way, a very Saturn word. But what I would offer is that we need to be very Uranian, or we need to be different about what we think purpose is. Because if purpose is only making money, or if purpose mm-hmm. is making sure I have this many calories a day and this many grams of protein, you know, that can get really rigid. But if our yeah. purpose, and see, and I would offer this to you, I think it's true. Your purpose is to strengthen your spiritual connection every single day.
Mm-hmm.
That's your purpose. So how do you measure that? It's not the same as being productive. I mean, that's the thing. Being right. purposeful is not the same as being productive. You know,
right.
it's not right. the same. And in Western society, though, it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in fact, I mm-hmm. always kind of go back to this example because I think it's funny. I have a sister who loves, loves, loves daytime soap operas, or at least she used to. I don't know if she still does or not. But when I was studying astrology, I was actually going, talking about productive, I was getting my master's in business, but in all my free time, I was doing astrology. So I wasn't watching any TV. I wasn't, in fact, I had no social life. All I was doing is studying astrology. And so I was kind of, you know, trying to get her interested in it. I was showing her these charts. She goes, why are you wasting your time doing that?
Oh.
And this is a person who for, she was watching maybe 4 or 5 hours of soap operas a day.
Wow.
And she said to me, why are you wasting your time doing this? And that was so, so meaningful to me because
profound.
I realized, well, yeah. it was profound because in my mind, you'd have to tie me to a chair to watch a daytime soap opera.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You would have to tie me to a chair. That would be a form of violence and torture.
I agree.
And yet to her, you've got all these books and you're sitting up here making all these charts and studying this. Why are you wasting your time? And that goes back to, though, you can't know what somebody else's purpose is. And see, maybe her purpose, or maybe the soap operas was her way to escape, her way to relax, mm-hmm. her way to do whatever. But you can't judge either one as good or bad.
No.
But she thought, and probably still does, I'm just totally ridiculous with astrology. It's just mm-hmm. a ridiculous waste of time. But once again, it's like, it depends on the purpose. And, you know, I feel like you, spirituality is very, very important to me. And mm-hmm. so more and more and more, when I look at my life, of course I have goals. There are things that, you know, yeah. I want to pay the mortgage. I want to, you know, have a good time or enjoy my, mm-hmm. be productive and or just enjoy my time, relax. But more than that, I literally am really trying to work towards a state where every single thing is an opportunity to learn a spiritual lesson or to feel more in alignment with the spiritual being that I believe I am. Mm-hmm. And if that's my overall purpose, then I get less hung up by productivity goals that don't work out.
Right.
Because they're secondary. They're secondary. Right. And so even though I'm not sure people would agree with me in terms of that's a difference between East and West, I feel like I want to be purposeful, but mm-hmm. I want my purpose to be aligned with my spiritual center.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. You know,
yeah.
It doesn't have to have all these 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It's like, I just want every moment to know that no matter how upset I get or how crazy I get, you know, and I do, mm-hmm. that I can quickly stop and just go, oops, you got all caught up in this illusion, or you got all caught up in this. Mm-hmm. You believed for a minute that this was really important or that this was really serious. And is right. it, you know, to just come back to that place. And so I guess I'm defending the idea of purpose, but I think the purpose can be something other than, you know, productivity as Western, you know, would describe mm-hmm. it. Because, I mean, I'm same thing. I mean, I have that issue with several members of my family that a productive day or, you know, a useful day is you get up and you do this and you go play that game and then you do that and then you have lunch with your friends. And then, I mean, it's all activity.
Mm-hmm.
It's all activity. But I recognize, mm-hmm. yeah, those things can be a part, but that's not my goal anymore. That's not my purpose. My purpose is that alignment.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And to try to feel. So being in that flow, not even so much with nature, as much as being in the flow, the spiritual flow, and knowing that when I get out of it, that all I have to do is stop and change my mind and come back.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, that's my purpose. And,
yeah.
you know, and there's a real easy measure. Do I feel peace of mind?
Mm-hmm.
Because if I don't, I've gotten off track. And, you know, it's in some ways, it's as simple as that. And yeah. it doesn't mean, by the way, that I don't analyze everything to death, because I do. Because yeah. it's just kind of what I do. But you know right. what? Just coming to that more and more and more. That's the only thing that really, really ultimately matters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, can I come agree. Back to the spiritual base?
Well, and you know? Being sensitive enough to, you know, it's like, for me, because that's my purpose too. You know,
I believe
that's
it
all
is.
There is. That's all yeah. there is in my book. But I liked, you know, I liked what he was saying, which is again mm-hmm. his take on it. That you know that we like he said, going to town to buy groceries gave validity to going to town.
Yes.
Whereas if you just went to wander around, it's non-productive. It's not yep. good. You know, it's judging one as good and the other as being lazy or yes. whatever, you know.
Absolutely.
And that was an interesting take. I mean, it was just a really interesting take on things. And, it, you know, just the whole... Because I do that to myself. Don't you do that to yourself?
I do it all the time.
What are
time.
You doing?
You're
doing nothing. You can't do
yes.
that. That's not productive.
Yes.
That's yeah. It's crazy.
And even to the point of thinking, I mean, I take it a step further. Like, what if somebody calls and says, what are you doing? I mean, which they do. Like, I mean, because my family knows that I work a lot. And so they'll call and they'll go, hey, what are you doing? Do you have a minute?
Mm-hmm.
And I almost feel compelled to say that I'm doing something productive instead of going, no, just sitting here looking out the window.
Yeah.
It's and I'm like, they didn't ask me for a defense. They didn't ask me for an excuse. They're just asking if I'm available. Why do right. I think I have to defend?
Right.
You know?
Justify your existence.
Well, right.
That's really what it is.
Yes. Because, you know, one habit I got into when I finally left the 9-to-5 world, you know, I wanted to be productive. So it's like, okay, you work in the morning, you take a lunch break, and then you work in the afternoon. And I kind of set up these, okay, this is how much time you can take off for lunch. And so I kind of got into this habit of, but even lunch had to be, okay, you need to take some steps. You need to get some exercise. You know, you need to accomplish all these things during your lunch break.
Right.
And if I finally just said, you know what, I just want to sit here. I just want to eat my lunch and maybe watch an episode of NCIS or something. But I felt like I had to justify it even in my mind. Like, it's okay to turn on the TV. It's okay to just relax for a few minutes. But in my mind, I had to call it lunch.
Yeah.
I couldn't just go, you know what, eat your sandwich and then do whatever you want for the next 30 minutes or 45 minutes or whatever it was. And I would feel guilty if I took longer than that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, Kelly, I mean, the words coming out of my mouth may say a little bit something different, but I agree with exactly what you said. It really resonated with me, but especially with the astrology of knowing that Uranus is coming along and just going, rethink your order. You know, you need to switch things up every once in a while. You need those breakthroughs. You need to know when the orderliness has just gotten too rigid.
Yeah.
You know, the habitual behavior or the routines. You need to know when that's true.
Yeah. And when you feel that, because you will feel it because it's your life, right? Mm-hmm. Then do something different. Or just try and do something different. Mm-hmm. I mean, my cousins are in the mountains. They're not going anywhere. They're 2 hours away. You know, anytime I want, if their guest room's available, I can take a drive.
You could go up there, yeah.
Yeah. And you
took Grace, I assume.
No, I didn't. I had my friend Becky. My friend Becky that I went to ICI with came and picked her up right before we left, which was perfect. And took her home with her.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And she's funny. She's a hairdresser and she does stuff. And she took Grace over Christmas. So she had her for 10 days. And I mean, Grace saw more action in those 10 days with Becky than she has in 10 years with me. Because she took her to at that time, her aunt, who's now deceased, lived in an assisted living facility. And she took her there. And everybody flipped out when she walked in with this little white dog. It was over Christmas and she cooked Christmas dinner and Grace sat on her aunt's lap for Christmas dinner. And just, I mean, she went to the shop with her, to the hair salon with her. And I mean, she just took her everywhere.
Oh, and that's so cool.
She just loves her. She goes, if you ever need her to be taken care of, you call me first because I'll do it. Because she's just a good girl. You know, she's a fun little girl.
Yes. Yes.
And that makes me feel good. You know, that other people love her that much. And they do. I mean, Scott, Kristen's cousin, I asked him one time if he'd be willing to take her overnight. And he goes, are you kidding? I'd love to. So I told her she had a sleepover with Scott.
Yeah.
He picked her up. And he bought her a new leash. And he bought her a little toy. And it's like, it was hilarious. But that makes me feel good. Because I know I have people. You know, because in the past, my mom would keep her or, you know, Shannon would be home and so she'd stay home. So I feel really, really blessed to have, you know, a couple of people that I know love her and will take good care of her.
Oh, yeah. That's like, it means the world.
Oh, it does.
One of my brothers took Tucker the other night just for a couple of hours because he has a couple of dogs. And I said, you know, I really think he needs a play date. You know, he just needs to do something. And so he said, sure, I'll take him. But what always amuses me is when somebody takes Tucker, he never even turns around. He just like hops in the car and I'm like, goodbye. Hello. And I mean, I know he loves me and he spends most of his moments with me. I mean, here again, you know, he'll sit, like right now, he's just lying on my office floor sleeping. But boy, when somebody wants to take him somewhere, he's gone. He doesn't even look back to see where I am.
Yeah.
Or if I'm coming. It doesn't matter. It's like, whoop, I'm on a leash and I'm on an adventure.
Exactly. I need to find out what this is about.
So. Yep. But I'm glad he's that way, because if he was kind of clingy and, you know, fought it, that would be harder. But it amuses me so much. He must have, some Uranus in him for sure.
Well, you know, that's really a trait of like Bichon and Bichon relative mm-hmm. dogs. They're, you know, it's kind of like, I remember reading about that when I got Claire, you know, forever ago. It just said, if you want a dog that's just your dog, it's not a Bichon. Oh. Because they love people and they mm-hmm. love, which is great. But I mean, if there's three of us sitting in a room, like in my living room, she's on my lap. You know, and what's really funny is, you know, I've got those two recliners in there mm-hmm. by the TV. And I still sit on the same one. I don't sit on Janet's recliner, as silly as that sounds. So anybody that sits in my chair, Grace is right there on top of them or on top of the chair, because it's her chair too. Because we mm-hmm. sit and watch TV at night and she tucks in next to me. And it's mm-hmm. just, it's so funny. The minute anybody sits there, she's bam in their lap. Yeah. Whether they like it or not. I have a picture of Kristen and Quinn kind of cuddled up under a blanket in that chair. And Grace is literally laying on the arm of the chair to be on that chair with them. It's just, it's very, very funny. But, but oh no, she has an opportunity to go and do something different. She's on it. And doesn't look back at me either. So I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Well, and Tucker, what's also funny is it hasn't been that long, maybe a year ago, I did get a Lazy Boy recliner chair because mm-hmm. I'd never had anything like that. And I thought, I just need something really, really comfortable. One mm-hmm. place where I can just, you know, so I'm not necessarily reading a book. I can just be comfortable. So I got this chair, and I kind of got it for him too, because when I'm in other people's houses and they've got big arms on chairs, he always wants to be there. Just like you said, he wants mm-hmm. to be up on the arm. And mm-hmm. so I got this chair. Well, he's kind of taking it over, though.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm in the kitchen cooking or, you know, I'm not in there, I look over and he's in that chair. I mean, like, right in the middle of it, like, you know. And if I come in, he doesn't get up, you know, for me to get in the chair. You know, if I want to sit in, I have to literally get him to get out. He's not going to. And sometimes, in fact, it's funny, I'll just sit some other place and he just lets me. You know, it's like, yep, I got my chair.
Thanks for not crowding me.
Yeah, she can sit over there on the hard couch or whatever it is, you know.
Yeah, I'll walk in there and it's like, okay, time to watch TV. And, Grace will be sitting in the chair and I'll go, move it over, sister. You got to share it with me. Yeah. I'm not going to. And she looks put out, you know, when I move her over. But it's just. It's funny. They're funny. And she's in there. She's in that chair in the morning often because she can look out into the backyard.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Tucker likes the places where he can look out the windows.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm. and watch
but
for
the
bunnies.
Thing about, but the thing, well, and coyotes, unfortunately. Yeah. He weighs about, he kind of ranges between 22 and 24 pounds. So that's the only thing.
He's bigger.
Oh, yeah. He's a little guy to me because I'm used to dogs that are 50 or 60 pounds, you know, huskies and border collies. But he's little, but he's not, you know.
Yeah.
He's not that. In fact, there was a coyote in the yard the other night, and a lot of times I just put him on a leash so I can grab the leash really quick.
Yep.
But he wasn't on a leash, and there's a coyote, and he's going after it. And so I'm screaming at him, and he won't come. So I finally get him by the collar. And, you know, and I literally, he was so riled up, I didn't even think I could pick him up.
Yeah.
You know, because he's heavy and he's all excited. Let me go. Let me go. You know, but it had already jumped over the fence. So, but yeah, he's just after it. You know, he thinks he's a really big boy and he's not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, But yeah, these big dogs, they don't have any problem thinking outside the lines, do they? Or coloring outside the lines or breaking up a routine. They're
being
okay with
spontaneous.
It. Yeah, exactly. They don't need the routine to make their lives happy.
Exactly. You
know, to be in the moment. Mm-mm. Yeah.
No, and that's why Grace goes out on a leash here in the yard because, well, I've told you, she just kamikazes herself into a fence or a tree or whatever, chasing a rabbit. Yep. And it's like, I'm not putting up with that again this year.
Yep.
So we go for long walks in the morning, mm-hmm. and that is pretty good. And now that she's, you know, she's 10, so she goes out in the afternoon and then right before bed to do her business, and that's good enough. So that works. It works.
Well, and the kamikaze, Jared, is a good description because that's exactly what Tucker does. In fact, I wish I could get this on video because when he sees a rabbit or a coyote, he runs so fast that his back legs can't keep up. And literally, he's kind of half flying and half dragging. I mean, just because he's going, you know, I don't know, 15 miles an hour or something, but his back legs literally can't keep up.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just like, oh my God, I wish I could get that on video. But, but it's always scary. In the moment, I'd never be able to get it on video because it's so darn scary. Because he's projecting himself, you know, into as far in the yard as he can get, as fast as he can.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I think the other night, though, I think he actually kind of scared that coyote.
Good.
I'm not sure. I don't know if it was me screaming or Tucker, but that coyote jumped over the fence.
It was probably the combination.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. But,
ooh.
Well, I want to tell you a funny story about the kids. They have, they each have an iPad, but Jared, you know, and Kristen limit their time on the iPads.
Mm-hmm.
But in the morning, in order for Jared and Kristen to get a little sleep, you know, a little extra sleep, the kids would sit on their iPads or they'd watch TV in my living room. And so that, you know, they got a little extra sleep. Their parents got a little extra sleep.
Right.
So it was path of least resistance. But I certainly wasn't going to go. And it's because they were out and available to them. Mm-hmm. But Jared would put them away. You know, he'd hide him someplace in the house and he would show me where he was putting them, but I wasn't going to go get them for the kids. You know, it's like there's plenty to do. You can watch a movie on Netflix. You can do other things. You don't have to be on your iPad. But one morning they were staging a protest because they wanted their iPads. So in unison, they're going, "I want my iPad. I want my iPad," over and over and over. And Jared looks at him and goes, "That is exactly not the way to get them, you know, and knock it off. Because if you think you're going to force me into giving you your iPads, think again." So then they got, you know, they got busy doing other things, watching a movie or whatever. And then pretty soon, a little while later, Bo goes, you know, it kind of dawned on him that, you know, he still didn't have his iPad. So he starts again. "I want my iPad. I want my iPad." Nobody chimed in. And he goes, and I'm listening to him do this. I'm not watching him. He goes, "Quinn, Quinn." And she didn't say anything. He goes, "Quinn, talk to me. Talk to me. I'm your sister." I was laughing so hard. It was just hilarious. And I told Kristen that, and she goes, "Yeah, he just doesn't have the sister, brother, you know, male, female thing. He gets confused." And Jared goes, "One time he walked up to me and told me he was my uncle."
Well, we're related anyway.
Oh, yeah. It was so funny. And Jared said he was the other morning, that he was kind of twilighting, you know, he wasn't quite awake. And he goes, and Bo comes up to me and he puts his hand on my cheek and he goes, "Hey, buddy. Hey, buddy. Do you know where my iPad is?"
Oh, my gosh.
It was just hilarious. They're just, they're funny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tell me something. What do they do on the iPads? I know that's a naive question, but I don't know. What are they doing on them?
He plays games.
Games.
He plays games because he's a little thinker. You know, he plays games, and Maisie does too. And Quinn, Quinn listens to other stuff, but he mainly plays games and does stuff. So, mm-hmm. and that just, that's how he thinks. He's a thinker.
Yeah. So that's kind of the addictive part of it, is playing games.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think, and just having, no, I think it's, you're right with that. And just being able to have something that you're doing, you know, just yeah. what you want to
well,
do.
Because I was thinking watching a movie, a lot of people would go, no more TV. But it's like, but watching a movie is a good alternative to an iPad. That's why I wondered, well, what are they doing? Mm-hmm. So they're not watching videos or, mm-mm. you know, I kind of thought that's probably what they were doing on the iPad. But.
No, no. And it's all pretty much educational stuff that they have access to. Mm-hmm. So that's what they're doing. But it's just, you know, Jared's like, you know, let's go do something. Let's walk yes. up to the park. The park's two blocks away. You know, let's yes. go play. Let's go on the swings. And so that's what he's always trying to do, which is why we spent, you know, four evenings at my brother's house so they could swim. Because they mm-hmm. really are just like outer kegs. You know, you're just waiting
you know what? That
one
is
of them
so,
to go off.
That is so wonderful. I'm glad you had access to the pool. Is it a heated oh, yeah. pool?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, because yeah. I was going to say in Colorado, I can imagine could be a little chilly in the evening.
Oh, no. It's like it's perfect temperature and they have a hot tub and it's just really beautiful out in their yard. So, and those kids just go for it. And
they
boy,
they love it. That yeah. is so wonderful.
Yep. And then they fall asleep on a chair out there.
Yep.
yeah. <That's, laughs> and then we get them home and Bo goes, can we go home now? Can we please go home now?
I'm tired. Yeah. They probably exhausted themselves.
Oh, they did. They did. And it's just, but it was so much fun. You know, it was really fun having them and just realizing how, what people they are, you know, being around their personalities and how different mm-hmm. their personalities are. Mm-hmm. So that was good. That was really good. And Maisie is just, Maisie. She's just yep. a ball of life, you know?
Yes.
Big ball of life.
Well, that was a very wonderful break in your schedule.
It was.
So thanks really for sharing was. It. Thanks for sharing it with us. Because we all need yeah. that. That's it. We need to balance out that Saturn and Uranus, and we need to, you know, not be so hard on ourselves, I guess. So let's quit Great. Making defensive statements or excuses for just wanting to relax. Or look yeah. out the window or wander through the mall or whatever it is.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, that's what I do on Tuesdays. I call them Tuna Fish Tuesdays because I make tuna salad and eat it and look through the catalogs, the millions of catalogs that I get yes. in the mail. Just yes. for, you know, I take an hour and do that. And that's the only week I do it. But again, it's a reward, you know, because I had mm-hmm. my show.
Yep. Well, and speaking
I
of which,
to
you
earn it. That's silly.
That's right. But we've got 1 minute to close the show, Kelly.
Oh, yep.
So that
oh,
you yep. can get to your Tuna Fish Tuesday.
I know. I'm so happy.
Thank you so much for letting me be on the show. And of course, yes, of course. People can find me on 1-2-listen.com. And I will be available on 12 Day for sure.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, thanks everyone for being here. You've been listening to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. We're here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way that you listen to the world. Thanks for being here. Have a very blessed week. And please stay tuned for Katie Weaver. Bye-bye.